Old houses are great. They're full of history and charm, and sometimes, when it comes to home renovations, they're full of frustration. This is Ask This Old House. I'm Chris Ermides. A lot of us are drawn to older homes for their sturdy construction, but older homes were built before a lot of modern conveniences, like efficient heating systems or central air. Eldridge and Lauren live in Washington, D.C. Hi, guys.
Hey, Chris.
So I hear you've got some exciting news.
Yes, we are expecting our first baby, a girl, literally any day now. So,
well, congratulations. And you said any day now, so I promise to make this quick. So I understand you guys have an amazing row house. Can you tell me about it?
Sure. About 3 years ago, we bought a small row house in Washington, D.C. It was built in 1913. And it's a little bit of a fixer-upper, we'd like to say. You know, it was good livable condition, but there were definitely a bunch of things that we knew moving in that we would want to do to fix it up.
What was it about this house that you liked?
We liked the neighborhood, and we were looking for a house that had rental income potential. You know, and in D.C. you have so many beautiful old homes, so we wanted something that had some of that character.
How many floors is it?
Two floors, plus a basement rental unit.
Have you guys done any projects on your house since you've been in?
lot. We've done a few. I guess when we first moved in, we sort of just repainted the kitchen and replaced the countertops in there with Lauren's father, who is the handiest man alive.
Yeah, in the kitchen, we put in new countertops, new backsplash. We retiled our bathroom and put in a new vanity. We've repainted. We added a new closet. We added a back deck and converted a window into a door, because before we didn't have access to our backyard from our unit. So we hired somebody to do that. We did not go out there
to build it.
You didn't bust through the brick?
I wanted to, but I was told it was best left to the professionals.
So what are you calling about today?
I guess we have been trying to figure out what to do about our heating and cooling issues. I guess the biggest thing is that the house doesn't have any sort of central air conditioning. The only thing that it has are window air conditioning units. The number one thing that we want to do is install some sort of central air conditioning. In addition, our house has old radiators, which is powered by a 40-year-old, at least, boiler, hot water boiler, and then like a large tanked water heater. Given the small size of our house and the amount of space that the boiler and water heater take up together, they're both located in our kitchen. We're also thinking about trying to, you know, take the most efficient approach to save some space in our kitchen, and then also get ourselves some central air conditioning.
Okay, and boiler with radiators means you have no ductwork, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, all right. So this is a big start from scratch almost endeavor.
Yep.
How high are your ceilings?
I think 9 feet.
Yeah, on both floors, which is nice.
Where are you in the row? Are you at one end or the other, or are you in the middle?
No, we're in the middle.
So you need a unit that is going to be fairly compact, where you can fit somewhere in your existing living space in a closet, or you have no attic, no basement really to put it in, right?
There's a small attic that's got 4 foot by 4 foot space where you can actually, I can't even say walk, store some extra stuff. And then other than that, it's just all insulation.
And are you looking to replace your heating unit and install AC, or do you want to leave your heating unit that you have now and just install air conditioning?
I think we're open to different possibilities. We certainly want to replace the boiler unit regardless, because it's so old and so big. And we had some issues with it last year. There was like a small leak. So we definitely want to replace the boiler, and we're open to either keeping the radiators or going with some sort of combination heating air conditioning unit.
Okay. Are the radiators, are they old cast iron radiators?
Yes, they work very well. I mean, the house gets really hot, but they're not particularly attractive. In a house this small, the amount of space that they do take up is some pretty valuable real estate.
Sure. I can understand that for sure. So speaking of size, how big is the townhouse?
Our upstairs unit is 960 square feet, two bedrooms, one bath.
That's split over two floors?
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, it sounds like you found a great house to welcome the new baby home to, and we've got the perfect person to help you out. Ross Trethewey is our home technology expert. He'll know just what to do.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much, and best of luck with the new addition. Up next, it's Ross Trethewey to the rescue. When we've got questions about bringing systems up to modern times, Ross Trethewey is our guy. Let's give him a call. Hey, Ross, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing great.
I'm excited about this. I love this question and this whole scenario. So Lauren and Eldridge live in D.C., and they have a new baby arriving any day, and they want to update their heating and cooling systems. It's an older row house built in 1913, so there's no central air.
Okay.
They have an ancient boiler, a big water heater, and cast iron radiators. Now, they'd love to install air conditioning, and because space is an issue, they're also curious about ditching the boiler and water heater for something more efficient. The place is about 900 square feet, and they're on the second and third floors. There's no basement access, and there is a tiny attic, like 4 feet by 4 feet.
Okay.
What do you got?
So, is the goal just heating and hot water, or is air conditioning part of the solution?
Air conditioning is definitely part of the solution.
Okay. And then that leads to my next question, which if we're solving for air conditioning, we got to solve, you know, for either a, you know, condenser or a heat pump or something, which means typically it's air sourced, which means it's outside. So I know in typical row houses, yeah, it can be challenging to fit because, you know, obviously you got neighbors on left and neighbors on the right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually don't have a lot of outdoor space to put an air conditioning unit, right? You know, the condenser is the typical 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot box.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes some noise. It has a fan and a compressor in it. So I would want to figure out, can we fit one of those? Can we do one of those?
Can they put the condenser on the roof?
They could, depending on local jurisdiction. So sometimes they're in historical commission or there's other kind of municipalities that will mandate where you can and cannot place, you know, condensers. We deal with this a lot in Boston, in Beacon Hill and Back Bay, for example. But if they could put it on the roof, absolutely. That would be a great spot for it.
And if they can't do a condenser on the roof, what's their next option? And then let's say, you know, obviously the front isn't an option, and I don't know what their backyard situation is, but if all of those are locked in, what do you do?
You can, you know, I'm assuming the building's brick, but maybe it's not. But if you've got some type of, you know, structure and you got space to put a unit, you could hang it like with a bracket system, like a wall bracket off the back of the building. Oh. And you could mount it secure to the structure. And you want to have some vibration isolation, you know, rubber grommets so that the unit doesn't vibrate too much of the wall assembly. But if that's done and thought through correctly and you got proper clearances and you can run electrical to it and refrigeration lines from it, that would be a great solution. And we've done that on a lot of different projects where the rear of the building is the only place you can put it.
Cool. So you end up hanging the condenser off the back of the building.
Yeah, they're hanging off the wall. And what we end up doing typically in those solutions is we go with one of those VRF solutions or one of the ones that I consider more like a suitcase. Like it's thinner and it's tighter to the building. Some of the Asian manufacturers, the Mitsubishis, you know, the LGs of the world, those manufacturers that make those that are really, really thin profile, and those can be mounted. So you're really only taking up maybe 12 to 15 inches off of the wall, as opposed to a 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot, you know, typical condenser unit from one of the unitary manufacturers. That can be, you know, a little bit more of an eyesore and a little bit more of a structural problem to make sure that's hung properly.
And VRF that you just mentioned, that is the style of those thinner, lower profile units?
Yeah, that's usually how they're just generalized as. And VRF is variable refrigerant flow. It just means that it's a variable speed unit. So the compressor is variable speed and the fan is variable speed. And what's nice about those units is that they come with a better efficiency from an electrical standpoint. They do heating and cooling. And you can have multiple indoor units, both ducted or non-ducted.
All right, so it sounds like we have a good option for getting the cool air from the outside, but how do they move air around the house?
Yeah, so they would have to look at either a ducted approach or a non-ducted approach for air conditioning. And so that's going to come down to, you know, you said there's a small attic space. So maybe there's enough space in there to put a horizontal air handler, right? Take the air handler, turn it outside. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll have an air handler for the second floor in the attic, and we'll do, you know, wall mounts or a non-ducted system on the first floor. If your first floor is really low ceiling heights, not a lot of structure to run ductwork, or just, you know, you've got beams or things in the way, then you can't run ductwork. Then you really have to look at a surface mounted, or what's typically called a wall mount mini split system. Those are, you know, typically the white box that's mounted on the wall, you know, 6 or 7 feet above the floor level. And those provide localized heating and cooling, and they don't require any ductwork, which is great. So there is an aesthetic trade-off there because you're looking at a white box on the wall, you know, and that's typically how those row houses or those types of buildings are done on a first floor with that's sandwiched between units.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. So you essentially need one of those in every room.
Every room that wants to have localized heating and cooling. Correct. Yep.
Got it.
Right. So you typically think of the bedrooms, kitchen, you know, maybe a, you know, living room or something like that.
With respect to running the ductwork, you know, someone has a brownstone like this and they put an air handler in the attic and they want to get ducts down to the first floor. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So it depends on the project, and it can be really challenging to do that. You know, what you're looking for is kind of any kind of chase space that might be existing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's an abandoned fireplace that's no longer used, and you can use the flue to get down. Sometimes there's laundry chutes, linen chutes. Sometimes there's other types of options for getting things down, and sometimes there's not. And you just have to, you know, find the back of a closet, box it in, and you run your duct down the back of the closet, and that person just lives with the fact that they have a smaller closet. Like anything, there's compromises, and that's one of them.
And are they using these smaller ducts that I've seen where it's just a little, it looks almost like a vacuum?
Yeah.
Central vac.
Yeah. Small duct, high velocity. Yep. So we've done that too. So if you really don't have any space and you want to run multiple, you know, attenuator tubes, they're called, that are 3-inch or 4-inch in outer diameter, you can then snake them down really anywhere. And you could run them, you could fatten out a wall in a building, for example, right? You can make, instead of a 2x4 wall, you make it a 2x6 or 2x8 wall and carve out some space to run multiple tubes down. So yeah, that's another option for sure.
Okay, now let's tackle the boiler and the water heater. They're both pretty big and old, and they're taking up a lot of space in the kitchen.
Yep.
So what are their options there?
They're going to get so much more space back if they were to take out the old boiler, take out the old water heater, and put in a combination boiler hot water system. So it's a combi boiler is the term, the technical term that they use. And that's literally like a small little suitcase that's 2 feet by 2 feet by, you know, 16 inches kind of thing. It's wall mounted. You get basically hot water for your showers, and you get space heating water. You get both. You kill two birds with one stone, and you really get endless amount of domestic hot water as long as you don't have too much demand. So like most of those combi boilers can give you one or maybe even two showers continuously, like literally forever. If you run 4 showers on it, you're going to run out of hot water very quickly, but because there's no storage tank, right? So you're not giving up a lot of floor space. So that's what I would recommend, I think, for them.
So is it essentially, does it look like a tankless water heater?
It looks just like a tankless water heater. You see them all the time. The only difference is that you now have 2 circuits that come in and out of it. One is space heat, one is domestic hot water. Now, there's a couple of technical differences, right? Like where you could say that when you have a domestic hot water call, like for shower water, you're not going to be heating your building. But the showers for most people in domestic hot water usage is very, very small, right? It's 10 minutes, you know, for a typical shower, maybe, you know, less, maybe more. But to leave your heating system for 10 minutes to come back to it 10 minutes later, you're not going to notice any difference in temperature or anything like that in your building.
I'm going to go out on a limb on my level of expertise and throw out there that because they have cast iron radiators, that it's even going to be less of an issue because they hold their heat for so long.
Absolutely. Nailed it. Yes. Yeah. So cast iron radiators have amazing, what's called thermal mass, right? Thermal mass, meaning you heat them up, you know, you can kill the circulator pump, you can kill the heat to it. It's going to continue to radiate heat to the room. That's why cast iron radiators are amazing for comfort. That combi boiler will thrive in that type of distribution system, right? You know, we did it in my house. Took out the old clunker, put in a combi boiler that does all of our domestic hot water with no tank, gave us all the space savings of the world, and we can connect it back up to the old cast iron radiators. It's a flawless system when you do it that way.
Oh my gosh, Ross.
A lot of options.
It is awesome. It's like my head is blowing up right now. That the combi boiler and their situation, and it just sounds
slam dunk. They're going to carve so much more space back. They could probably change their kitchen layout if they wanted to.
All right. Thanks so much, Ross. I bet Lauren and Eldridge will have their home feeling comfortable for the new baby.
No, that's great. I'm glad to help them, and good luck with the new baby.
Got a long overdue project at your house? Submit your project at askthisoldhouse.com. Ask This Old House is produced by Catherine Fenelosa at Rococo Punch. Production support from Sarah Chase. Thanks to Eldridge and Lauren Nichols and Ross Trithui. If you want to let us know what you think of the show, send us an email, ask@thisoldhouse.com, and subscribe to our podcast newsletter at thisoldhouse.com/newsletters. Don't forget to watch our Ask This Old House TV show on PBS and in the This Old House app. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube. I'm Chris Hermides. See you next week.